Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's 2:15 a.m. on December 29th, 2018. Iowa State coming off of a 28-26 loss to Washington State in the Alamo Bowl. What's up, Chris Williams?
The Valero Alamo Bowl.
Is Valero a sponsor of CycloneFanatic.com now?
I just got off a network post game, and we have to say that.
Yeah, but they might actually be getting some sort of.
Yeah, no, I'm just joking.
Well, you're back in the Renegades. Area of the world.
Thank God. No, I love doing that. We wanted to do. There's 30,000 people heading back to Iowa tomorrow.
Yeah,
and y'all are gonna need something to listen to, so it might as well be us.
I don't know what anybody else would rather listen to on a Saturday morning.
So we want to react to the Alamo Bowl, and I think more importantly,
look ahead.
Yeah, react to the whole season, put it in perspective, and look ahead to the coming months.
Yeah, I would say that's exactly what we want to do, and we will do that right after a quick break here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
This Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is brought to you by Nationwide. Did you know that Nationwide is the official insurance provider for Iowa State University alumni? They offer Cyclone alumni discounts, auto, boat, motorcycle, RV, and pet insurance. To find out more, visit nationwide.com/Iowa State or talk to one of their agents today.
All right, where should we start with this thing?
Let's do the elephant in the room. Let's start with the game.
Okay.
And, you know, I had a, I don't know, like, I'm always in a hard spot because I feel like we've got to be professionals and you've got to, like, look at things from an objective standpoint, but we still want Iowa State to win. And,
yeah.
And, during that game, like, I understand that Iowa State had 7 false starts.
Yeah.
They had uncharacteristic turnovers. Don't do that stuff. And despite some questionable calls, you win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, you point the finger at yourself.
Right.
And as Matt Campbell said after the game, and I think you wrote about, I haven't got a chance to read it yet, that the details lost the game for Iowa State.
Correct.
So look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Iowa State made that bed.
Well, and I think that just goes to show this program has come so far.
Yes.
And I think that, was it Matt or Brian Leisure? I think it was Brian.
Just
tweeted about how that goes to show how far the program has come in the last several years, that they were even in a position where they could potentially win the game as the grizzled veteran Rob Gray walks into the door.
Just checking into the hotel at 2:20.
Rob, where have you been? Have you been off
Shenanigans? Rocks, off the Rocks bar.
On the Rocks.
And on the Rocks bar.
The Sips poser. Hey,
you get go get yourself a cold beer, settle in, and then you join us.
Okay? Yeah. It goes to show how far the program's come that they were even able to outlast that stuff. And, I mean, they lost the game by 2.
Yeah.
You know?
Can I just – let me just go off on this, okay?
Yeah.
This is screw it. We're going to have some – we're going to let our – let the boys
Rob change. Yeah, this go in the bathroom, change your clothes, get
your pajamas on.
Yeah, you're sitting in here in your business attire.
Yeah, get your pajamas. We're in our pajamas.
We're drinking Bud Light and and podcasting at 2:00 in the morning. You don't wear a Cyclone Fanatic polo to do that.
All right. I'm gonna let the boys hang here.
Okay. Go in commando on the podcast.
I'm getting really sick and tired of going on Twitter and seeing people, media, fans of opposing teams, even some Iowa State fans saying, oh, you can't talk about the refs. It's a moral victory. You know, no, BS. Because they absolutely impacted that game tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
And anybody who tells you that they didn't is either, they're a liar.
Yeah.
Or two, they didn't watch the damn game.
Right.
Because... Okay, the targeting stuff. Let's just walk through the questionable stuff.
Okay.
All right. Willie Harvey. Willie Harvey's deal, I'm okay with it. I actually understand why he had to be ejected.
Right.
Because of the way the rule is. And as a friend of ours noted after the game, he got his money's worth. Right,
right, right, right.
Like, I don't think Willie was headhunting there.
No.
But he got, that's the rule, he's gone.
Correct.
The NU Wizerike one was genuinely one of the worst calls I've ever seen.
Like, that was horrible.
The only reason that was called is because Minshew's helmet came popped off. That's literally the only reason that gets called. But whatever, we move on.
Right.
The single worst call of the night was the botched false start on Washington State on the touchdown. So instead, you give them a touchdown instead of being like third and long from the 15, third and goal from the 15.
Right.
Game changer.
Yeah.
Absolute game. Iowa State's defense is fantastic in third and long. It's one of the best in the country. Then we go to the Eaton.
Yeah,
that one. Yeah,
Not a football move. Was that not a football move? I don't know. Whatever. This is where it comes down to me. The crew in this game, and it's a microcosm of a larger problem, I think, in this sport now that we're adding replay and all this stuff to everything that we do now, and we've got booth officials and we have challenges, and it's confusing for fans. It is confusing for the media who's trying to cover it to convey it to the fans. It is not consistent from play to play, let alone game to game.
Right.
So these guys don't know what they can and cannot do. The fact that Matt Campbell had to blow a timeout to get the Eaton play reviewed is egregious.
Yeah.
When you look at some of the other stupid reviews that we saw throughout that game.
Yeah.
So I understand the false starts, and it sucked in that if you have 7 false starts, you probably don't deserve to win a game with 3 turnovers. But don't sit here and bloviate and tell me that the refs didn't impact it, because they did. And if anybody in their godly right mind would grade that officiating crew, they're getting an F tonight. It was a total.
Even Brent Bloom gave him an F.
It was a total, pardon my French, I'm sorry, I know there's kids. It was a shit show throughout the entire Alamo Bowl, and Washington State got screwed a couple of times too.
Yep.
But like, Rob, this is where I need to pass it off to you, because I think that the officials would be so much better off to be more transparent. And I don't think we need to bring them in and let us all pepper them with questions, but there's got to be some transparency. And Matt Campbell said after the game in his press conference, that's why he was so mad, because nobody was communicating.
Yeah, and that's a huge issue. And I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying here. Definitely an impact. And as you said, there's a couple of calls that went against Washington State. It's like, well, why did that happen?
Correct.
But the ones that happen to the Cyclones at those critical times, like you said, the false start that's missed. How do you miss that?
That's the most basic call in football.
There are crews that have been doing freshman games between Urbandale and Johnston, they don't miss that. Those guys miss it. They have a guy looking specifically for those sorts of things, and they don't get that.
Yeah.
And I understand Coach Campbell, of course, doing what he does, very classy about it after the game. But I tweeted it. I heartily praise him for going off on the officials like that. First of all, as you said, terrible call. It's as if the booth official had said, oh, that helmet came off, and that might be it was all, they planted a seed in their own mind.
Yeah, because the call wasn't made on the field.
Yeah.
I honestly expected there to be a call when I saw his helmet come off. Like, to just being honest, a lot of times when you see a guy's helmet come off, like especially a quarterback, you think like, okay, there's going to be some sort of flag here.
I thought Peavy's hit on the guy out of bounds looked worse.
It was closer.
And I don't even know if that was in any way illegal, but it's just it's just the way it looked.
It wasn't,
made it seem illegal. Yeah.
Watching it live, I thought it looked like more of a targeting potential play.
Yeah, just because of the positioning and the way his body's positioned, the way his head's positioned. But
they certainly targeted the – did you see what the first down markers looked like? Oh, they were messed up.
No.
They were real messed up. It looked like a crescent moon.
Really?
When they're supposed to look like a, you know, obviously like a stick.
Interesting.
Have you guys touched on yet the false starts and what Coach Campbell said about Colin Newell?
No, and that's what I was going to say, actually. I think that maybe going into the game, we didn't take enough into account what that could mean. And I don't, full disclosure, the replay of the game is on right in front of us right now at 2 o'clock in the morning on ESPN.
It's 2:30 now.
2:30 in the morning on ESPN. And, you could see it on every play for both teams. I think it must be the way that
look at these refs. Look how confused they all look, right?
Yeah.
Like they're on a different hemisphere in this game.
Yeah. But I think it almost is like the way that the sound travels there. So when Colin Newell is hearing the snap, like it just, no one, it's just all messed up on every play for both teams.
I think there are two.
It looks like there's a false start.
Yeah. And I think it was that. And I think the way that Washington State's line shifted.
Yeah. Probably messed him up a little bit too.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, and Campbell, pointed out how good Colin Newell has been. I mean, he's been a godsend. I think, I don't think that's saying too much.
I'll be honest. But I think that's him and maybe Josh Knipfel going into this offseason. Those might be the only two guys that you look at and you're like, yeah, that dude's job is safe going into next year.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know who else. I mean, the other three people, would you say that they are? Julian Good-Jones and Bryce Meeker have played a lot of football for Iowa State, and I'm not sure I would say that their jobs are safe going into the offseason.
And that's a good thing. I mean, and Campbell has said it. I mean,
Downing will start.
That's what I'm saying. Trevor Downing's gonna start. Joey Ramos, I think, will be in position to start as well. Yeah, Rob Hudson, I think, will be in position to start.
But those guys should welcome that, because that's what Campbell has said from day one. There's going to be competition, and if you can't keep upping your game, someone's going to pass you. We saw it with David Montgomery as a freshman. We saw it with Brock Purdy once they went to him. I mean, if any program you feel your job is safe because you're just kind of doing okay when there's somebody busting their, we're after dark.
Yeah, this is, he already said shit. So
busting their ass.
Yeah, you
to improve.
Say ass all you want.
I mean, that's not the case. And this is not to disparage any of those guys, but some guys have higher ceilings than others.
Yeah,
and that's. You know, that's just a fact, and it's a good thing. And every one of those players should welcome it as a good thing. And that goes for guys who you would think maybe quote unquote have a safe job, that's a welcome thing for them.
While we're on this conversation, I was thinking about this earlier during the game, because when Iwazurike went out, I really thought Iowa State was in trouble. And masterful job by John Haycock of making adjustments tonight.
I will say the professor's defense beat the Pirates offense all night long.
Yeah, absolutely. No question. I would praise Washington State, though, in the sense that
took advantage.
Well, they did what they do.
Right.
They didn't screw up.
No.
And that's what Leach, when they got ahead early, I was nervous because that they're a lot better playing from that ahead position than they are from behind, because they don't throw it downfield and they don't really have a running game. And they were dinking and dunking and taking exactly. And they have a really good quarterback that didn't do anything stupid. And unfortunately, Iowa State's quarterback had a couple of those moments tonight, and that was really the difference in the game. The greater point out, you were talking about the offensive line.
Right.
This program changed when it got elite up front on defense.
And a corner, I would say, when you throw a PV in the mix there too, and
that's
a symbiotic sort of thing.
This program will take the next step, because you're looking at an 8-4 this year, 7-5 last year. You're looking at your 10-2s when the offensive line makes that step.
Yeah. Right.
And I still don't know if next year is the year when that happens.
Might be the year after.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're better next year.
Yeah.
We've seen them progressively get better. But that really, I mean, you're looking at two guys in Montgomery and Butler who are probably going to go pro.
And they should.
I think they should too. Yeah. And I don't think Butler should, to be honest with you, if this is after dark and we're being very raw.
But man, closer we get to having to declare, more and more people are putting him in that first round conversation.
Which I never thought he'd be there given the that's sometimes not being able to make the routine catch.
If that's the case and he gets that feedback, then he should go.
And did you
I don't
see
know
anything,
if he's going to get that feedback.
Did you see anything tonight that would make you think that he's not good enough to be in that conversation? He dropped one?
And it wasn't a perfectly thrown ball.
You looked at it and you're like, man, you should have caught that.
NFL guy should catch it, yeah.
I agree. I think that you look at a lot of guys who are like him in college who have a similar profile when you look at them and go, like the Michael Crabtrees of the world and the that are just total freaks. And they, Laquon Treadwell is a great example.
Well,
of Minnesota.
Laquon Treadwell like disastrously broke his leg too in college. But
what the dude was
yeah, I know. I know what you're saying.
And it's these guys who struggle with consistency, but they get by based off of being total freaks. Mm-hmm. They tend to struggle at the next level when it comes to the details and stuff. I think Hakeem, in my opinion, because he's a wide receiver, if I were advising him and he's not going to be a first round pick, I think that he could advance himself by coming back and shoring that up because I think that not only would he be the best receiver in the country next year. Hell, he could be a borderline Heisman contender.
He would go into the year as one of the two or three most likely candidates to win the Biletnikoff.
Yeah, absolutely.
He arguably could be a preseason AP All-American at the receiver position.
Yeah, and I guess the point I was making is think of the talent we're talking about, and this offense was still, in my opinion, underachieving for most of the year, even with this miraculous quarterback situation that happened. And it's because the line hasn't taken that step. So I'm just kind of sitting back and going, when's that going to happen? And I'm not even being critical. That's the one spot where you can't just, you can't just do it overnight. You can't bring in a Jaquan Bailey as a true freshman and play him at offensive tackle and get that type of production. It doesn't happen. They're doing the development. You're just kind of waiting for the fruits of that labor to evolve.
Well, and the one good thing that they have is so a guy like take Good Jones and Meeker, for example. Both of those guys have played a ton of football at Iowa State, and I think that any level of success that they have is probably based primarily on the fact that they just have played a lot. You know, that those are just guys who have been through the wars in the trenches. And the base that they started at probably was not very high, but the guy, some of the guys that they're getting now, the base at which they are starting is higher. The coaching level, I think that they are getting from the jump is considerably higher.
Good point. Yeah.
You're not, no offense to our guy, Brandon Blaney, but you're not faced with getting coached by Brandon Blaney as during your redshirt season, you know, like you're coming in right away and you're getting good coaching and you're coached by people that know what they're doing with the offensive line, where a guy like Trevor Downing, who could have gone any number of places, Joey Ramos could have gone any number of places, and all these other guys that they've went and got that have had are starting at just a higher position. It doesn't take as much for them to get to that point where a Good Jones or a Meeker is. Do you get what I'm kind of trying
to say? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think those are great points. And also, can we all agree that we believe that Campbell thought they were a year away. Even though he talked about the progress they made, and they did make progress, just not enough, and mostly in the sense of consistency. Because even last night, we saw them get some real push in the running game for a while, and then there were so many false starts.
I guarantee, if you go back and chart the plays, those false, because the line is so average that if it gets behind the chains and Iowa State becomes any sort of predictable at all, they're just not that good offensively. And when they were getting that push you're talking about is when they had some tempo going.
Exactly.
You know, those false starts were killer.
I was going to say, it felt like every single one of them came at a crucial point. Like the one I said to you, it was in the first, it might even be this drive that is on the TV right now where they were in the Wildcat and David had a good run.
Yeah.
And then they got back to the line and they had Washington State on skates. And then Bryce Meeker gets a false start. Next play, the defensive back comes off the edge completely untouched and drills Brock Purdy from the blind side. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, crap.
You punt the football.
Yeah. Did they punt?
Was that the field goal one, or was that?
That might have been when they kicked the field goal. That might have been when they kicked the field goal. I can't remember for sure.
They got knocked back big time on the punt from the 38 too.
Yeah. But either way, it was one where I think that might be what it was. That you might be right. Yeah. So they get to the position where then you have to punt inside of Washington State territory.
Yep.
And it's like,
goes to the 12.
Yeah. Yeah. But that they just felt like every single time it was just like a shot in the foot.
That's the next step. And as you said, as you wrote about Jared, I mean, the detail, and that's getting to be consistent with
that
detail.
It's about to happen right now. Got wrecked.
You want to talk about an offensive line that hasn't figured out is Washington State's. I mean, it was tremendous scheming to have Minshew looking a little bit Will Greer-like at times with his head on a swivel and really kind of flushing him a little bit, sacking him twice when he'd been sacked 11 times all year.
Would you take Minshew or Greer as a college quarterback?
As a college quarterback? Minshew, no doubt.
I think I would too.
I don't. He's coached not the better. Mustache. It's not the flamboyant, you know.
But
he's
a little more mobile. Stuff.
Yeah, and I think he's just got that
grittier
play he made with the false start aiding it.
How many sacks did Iowa State leave on the field?
A bunch.
Yeah, a few. The fact that they were in position against that offensive line.
There it was.
That is, again, well-drilled. They don't make many mistakes. They do what they do. You pass with that great amount of frequency. You're giving up less than one sack a game coming into this one. That's an outstanding group. And, no reason they set a program record with 11 wins. You were talking about being in that 10-2 category.
Yeah.
And that, and an offensive line like that being the difference.
Iowa State set a single season record for sacks tonight. And all of those guys come back. Let's take that second.
The D line.
Now the two best season.
Not Willie, who had a part in it too, but yeah.
You want to talk eggplant emojis.
Two best single season tackle for loss marks in program history last year and this year.
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
these we got some dudes.
How about Greg Eisworth tonight?
Greg
Eisworth was quietly really good. He didn't have a lot of tackles, but man, he in coverage he made a great play. He chased a guy down on what was a really nicely disguised run that might have been a 20-yard gain for them. I think they gained a yard.
I got a point too on the D line is Leo is going to be a lot better next year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just another step forward for him.
Yeah,
that guy.
He needed another year. He just hasn't played much football.
He's a guy that is, I think we expected to play a lot right away just because of the pedigree of him. He'll come in like next year and just be a stud.
Yeah,
and then 6 years from now he'll be like David Irving. Yeah. Without like all of the other, other
you know
problems,
I mean, like
no stop signs,
no stop signs, no.
We all watch David Irving like grow
PlayStation's
up and
thrown
like,
out
oh,
the window.
He's a nice player, gets kicked off, and now he's like a star for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, no,
we could see it. We could all see it coming, though. I mean, there's a reason why they gave him so many quote unquote second chances because he was that good, but he never really got it.
I mean, Jeff Woody still says that. He was one of the most freakish people he's ever seen in practice.
All right, let's just kind of shift and look at what the offseason entails and next year.
All we talked about was officiating.
Yeah, well, I'm more pissed about some of the reaction I've seen to it than I am even.
Oh, can I read you? I want to get your instant reaction to a message that we got on Facebook tonight.
Oh, Jesus.
You're going to love it. Well, actually, you probably won't love it, but... I don't know if I want to say the guy's name.
Just give his first name.
All right. This comes from Jake. Follower Jake on the Facebook.
Oh, Lord.
In response to your tweet that you had.
What was the tweet?
Regardless of how this game ends, Iowa State now has the Bush Light guy and Stone Cold Steve Austin out shilling for them. I'd say the trip was a success.
Clearly a joking tone. Yeah. And I remember when I tweeted that Iowa State was about ready to take the lead. That was right before Montgomery
At the time that
fumbled, I think
he sent this to us. Well, he screenshotted it at 10:47 p.m. and then sent it to us right around midnight. So I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say that he probably had a few more Busch Lights.
So before he clearly was like pissed about the loss.
He said, "Almost more pissed off about this tweet than I am about the game. Who cares about Busch Light, dude, and Stone Cold? Let's focus on winning on the field. Could give two f's about anything other than winning. Can't believe that you would tweet about some BS moral victory during the game." I replied, "It was a joke, Jake. Have a good night."
That's not even a moral victory.
He replied with an eye roll emoji.
Do pertain to what happens on the field. It's just not a win. You know what I mean? Like if you say, "Oh, you know, we played better up front," or you know, we usually lose this team by 28 and we took it down to the wire and lost by a field goal. That's a moral victory. It's not saying something unrelated to the game. Is.
Damn you, Chris, for caring about Stone Cold and the Busch Light guy.
That tweet has 791 likes and 72 retweets.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to pull up the analytics. It's been seen 40,064 times, and it's been engaged with on Twitter over 1,500 times. And I'm going through the mentions right now. Not one negative comment to that. Jake, if you're listening, first of all, we appreciate it.
We appreciate you the follow.
Second of all, I mean, I'm just going to lay this. I'm just going to be honest with you, man. Like, that's a lot of people. Like, that's been seen over 40,000 times. And you're the only person who took it there and was negative about it and didn't get it. So my point is, dude, I'm not always right. I tweet stupid things all the time. And I'm wrong a lot. I think this one might be on you, bro.
I think it's like the people that got pissed at me for crapping on Busch Light.
they just like, and maybe, you know, I always find this because you guys are around me all the time and you guys both know me incredibly well, like that I'm just a very sarcastic and
means I think we're maybe not as much Rob. He's not as much in this. Rob's like the true professional.
Yeah.
Between the three of us.
Yeah.
Like, I have my moments.
Yeah.
Oftentimes on Twitter, though, it does not come across.
Usually that's after a few whiskeys, though.
That's true.
I always feel like people should know that I'm being sarcastic, but they don't get it.
And, yeah.
And like, it's maybe it's on me for not. But like, no, Jake, I think you missed the boat there, bud.
Now that we're off now we're out of the press box, can we have, this is another thing I want to talk about. Can we talk about one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in the history of covering athletic events?
Sure.
What was happening right next to you in the press box?
Yeah, that was
weird.
Did you pick up
Rob? Didn't notice it either.
He was mentioning it to me. He had like this two-tier typing system.
Yeah, this guy, and I don't want to say his publication.
No.
But his wife was with him.
We'll just say he's not an Iowa State reporter.
Yeah, and he kept telling his wife what to tweet. Like, and he'd like spell it out for her. It was a really bizarre thing that was going on there. Yeah. It was odd, but whatever.
He was literally dictating his tweets in the press box.
You're right.
What was he doing?
I don't know. Anyways.
It was pissing me off because after the game, they were still there in those same spots. And his wife must have had a cold or something.
That cold medicine smelled. Yeah. When she busted out the medicine? She had the meds out. Oh, it reeked. It was horrible. All right. Anyways,
that was just ridiculous. So I had to bring it up because I tweeted about it earlier and people wanted to know the backstory.
Did we talk about the Hawk fan that got onto the thing?
There's always a Hawk
scenario.
Fan somewhere.
So Alex Holstead had somebody messing with him in the press box.
So somebody
what
below him
at the Alamo Dome.
A Kooks fan was getting angry, like banging on the plexiglass that separated, thinking that he's getting at some Iowa State. No one's wearing Iowa State gear there. Dude. Alex is wearing a nice plaid shirt. But
those Washington State fans were rowdy.
Yeah.
Like they were a rowdy bunch.
I mean, imagine what people think of us.
Oh, I know.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Iowa State fans. People probably. Those Washington State fans probably hate Iowa State fans right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I sat there. The guy with the trout hat, which I do believe that was a rainbow trout on his hat. That was right in front of us. That you and I think we were both waiting for something to happen to where we could just take a picture of him disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, all night.
And That is that guy. Like, I sat there. I just kept looking at him. I was like, man, I don't like that guy. But in reality, if I could sit and have a couple Busch Lights with him, I bet we'd be best friends.
I wanted to see that guy in pain.
Yeah, me too.
Honestly.
Him and the guy in the Cougars jersey right in front of us. Like, that was probably like 75 years old.
He was dancing when Iowa State's pump up video came on before the game. And I remember I showed you that video. He was getting into it. I don't think he realized that it was the Iowa State stuff. And he was just kind of going.
I won't lie. I wanted Iowa State to win for a lot of reasons, but mostly so those people would be miserable.
What about the two guys just in front of us to the left that anytime Iowa State fans were upset would like do this?
And then one guy would go like this.
Yeah, that's the guy. That's the guy wearing the rainbow.
Oh, okay. I'll bet they would have been fun.
Off-season storylines. The other side. This is getting off the
It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but like almost the people listening, they're driving back to Iowa. They want quality content.
I guarantee they love it, dude.
Oh, I know. I'm just messing. We do need to address. So we've got the guys who might go to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
We also need to discuss the Campbell situation, because I think there's probably a little bit of a false sense of security with that contract extension.
Yeah.
Which full disclosure. I'll take one, Jared. All right, thanks. I do think Matt's coming back. I there's no doubt in my mind. Like, I think that he's Iowa State's head coach next year.
Mm.
But we also need to prepare fans because
thanks, boss.
There's going to be chitter chatter.
Yes.
And I already saw some stuff tonight on the internet. So my point is people just don't fall into the whole like, oh, there he got an extension. Well, that was a good raise for his staff, and that was a recruiting deal.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't lock him in or anything like that.
Yep.
I'd be interested to know. But
again, I think he's Iowa State's head coach next year. I'd be very surprised if it's not the case.
Yeah. I'd be interested to know, in which we probably won't know this until. Did you put in a FOIA request for the contract, revised contract?
Not for the revised one. No,
thought we had a true journalist sitting.
Hey, you know how many of those I've procured over the last few years?
That's all Rob, man.
Yeah,
I don't even know how to do it.
It's a pipe down whippersnapper.
Cheers.
I love me some FOIA. Cheers, action. Buddy.
but I'd like to know what the
that's a T-shirt.
they would sell it at the museum.
Yep.
So I actually thought of a new.
Get on down to the Pointer Institute. I thought of a new peddling them
clone T-shirt. Two things that I want to sell. One are clear bags for the ladies. Clear bags to get into the events because there's a shortage of them. I've been told it's hard to find the clear bags for the ladies. So we're gonna find stylish, like different types of clear bags with like clone slogans and stuff on them for next year. So ladies, look forward to that. After dark.
After dark. We need Murph.
Yeah. So.
Ed. That's what I was.
Oh no, it was Ed. Yeah.
After dark.
Two. I want to sell a clone shirt that says on the front, "Just don't get arrested," and on the back, "Go State." I think it's a great shirt.
Yeah,
it's yeah.
Don't you think
it's got potential?
I think it's a good shirt.
It's got potential.
I wonder.
Imagine though the embarrassment if the person who dons it one game day
in their mugshot
getting arrested. And it's right
Why
there.
Did you look at me the way that you did? Do you not like it?
No, I like it.
I think
Do you think they burned the shirt if they got arrested?
That only one person in this trio has actually been arrested before.
It has nothing to do with you, I swear.
No, I know.
But like, I was walking around this morning with my wife, and we were watching all the drunks at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
For an 8 o'clock game that ended at midnight, and I was like, my God, there's going to be a lot of arrests. Yes, today.
We saw a guy at Whataburger this morning wearing a shirt that, and I wish that we had thought of this. It said, "Shut up, liver, it's game day." So shout out to that guy, because I hope that I wanted to take a picture of him in Whataburger.
Was it a clone shirt?
Oh, it was, yeah. Yeah. It was he looked at me like he knew who I was, but I just didn't.
That's amazing.
But he didn't show any love like so many others. Let's shout out to everyone who, I mean, nice guys shouted out to me on the street as I was on my way over. I know you guys get that all
the
time.
Man.
And I get it sometimes. And it's just,
we love our
It
readers.
Gives you a really just a warm feeling, you know, you know, so I wanted to make clear that how much we appreciate that. We're getting people of all ages recognizing us, Jared.
Friend of the program, Ryan Hansen is waiting for the day when he's with us when someone tells us that we suck.
But dude, that happened to me in Memphis last
year. Oh, yeah, I remember. I was,
that guy
I was
like there wanted for that. To fight me.
Yeah. Okay.
It was weird.
Okay, but back to what we were talking about with Matt Campbell's contract and FOIA. I'm interested to know
that shit. Rob.
Get that Monday. Add that. I don't care if it's New Year's Eve. Like, add that to your to-do
list.
They
probably don't have it processed.
No, it's not. I'm sure it's not. But
they'll probably. I'll probably just get it out to us when it's.
Yep. I'm interested to know
Steve is
what
great.
The.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
What the ramifications for the buyout are? You know.
Well, I mean, Rob, you're better on contracts than me.
Yeah.
There is NFL language in the current one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated still throwing his name around. And I don't like the way some of these people write, it's like they don't realize that he did sign an extension.
Well, let me tell you
those
something.
Buyouts aren't that. I mean, sometimes they are, you know, kind of prohibitively expensive for them to take a chance on somebody who hasn't coached in the NFL. But when they've decided to make a change, and if they found someone who they think is such a rising star, they'll make an investment in, the level of buyout isn't as much of a deterrent, I think, as some people think, unless you've really, you know, worked in a huge one.
I believe it's like a de-escalating buyout. So like every
year
it's
and it's
shorter.
And that wasn't shored up.
No. And I think like there's one out. I swear to God, it was to be like an NFL GM.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Like,
too,
he has said that he loves.
I think Matt would be a phenomenal GM. Almost think he would be a better GM in the NFL than he would be a coach.
Well, as an evaluator of talent, look at what we've seen.
Yeah,
you know,
and he loves that. Like his favorite part of it is like piecing together a roster. Mm-hmm. And I think that. Man, he's only 37. So, I mean, that'd be really...
He loves the coaching, too, though. How often does he talk about the, you know,
I would be shocked if he's not here next year.
Yeah.
I would be shocked.
I agree. And it's not just because of, you know, it's not that it's cosmetic, but if you know what I'm saying about the extension and adding the money for more money for the assistants for the second straight season, but there really is a feel of unfinished business in terms of where he wants to take this program, which doesn't mean if you've got the most fantastic NFL offer out of nowhere, Mike, you know, you'd be nuts not to strongly consider that.
Well, I'm trying to get him to hire me to be his offensive coordinator. So you guys,
good luck with that.
You guys,
please
might,
do not. Good luck with that. I don't even want to know what my life would be
dark.
Like if you left.
My, you guys might be covering my Iowa State offense in the Sugar Bowl next year.
Just know that
we're going to the air raid.
No punches will be held.
Chris Williams will be calling the Statue of Liberty every plays.
You'd have a great source.
Fumble Rooski.
The first game in the game season opener against Northern Iowa, assuming that it's actually played this time. When they only throw,
damn it, do they play you and I next year?
I think so.
I think so too.
They
all
put
the
up
freaking Purple Hawks come to town.
When they only put up,
God, I hate that game.
When the Cyclones only put up,
least favorite game Iowa State ever plays in.
As the OC, you only put up 375 yards as the offensive coordinator. You better believe the headline on Cyclone Fanatic: fire Chris Williams today.
Do you want another hot take?
There'll be 11 false starts in that game.
I'm gonna give you guys another hot take here after the whole. Hoopla and all the bitching and moaning about the Big Four Classic and all the stuff in the last few weeks. I wish, and Jamie won't do it because Jamie's like genuinely a guy who wants to keep money in state, which is why they ridiculously paid Drake to come and play us in football and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
I after all that crap coming out of Drake in Northern Iowa, I want Pollard to cancel the UNI football series. Screw you guys. You want to bitch about this basketball thing? Then we're not going to write you $500,000 checks to fund your athletic department and come play at Jack Trice Stadium. Screw it. Yeah. Don't play him anymore.
I don't think that he's going to say that to his friend David Harris.
I know, and David Harris is awesome, and I love
David
Harris.
David Harris, good guy.
Great. But I'm tired of the...
Well, think
I was very sympathetic to the small schools.
Are we sitting here with Ross Peterson?
No, I'm serious.
After
I was super
dark.
I was very sympathetic to the small schools on all that. And I was for years I've been saying, no, they should go against the grain and they should still go to Cedar Falls and still go to the Knapp Center and do it because it's unique and it's good for the state and all this
stuff. And because you want to see the flames on the hood.
No, here's
and the little blimp.
Here's the BS part of it. Iowa and Iowa State would totally pay those schools to come and play.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they won't do it.
It's a verifiable fact.
Yes. Fact. So I have zero sympathy for them now. Like, I'm off of it. And if you want to keep bitching to the New York Times and stuff like that, then no. Don't write them a $500,000 or a $650,000 check to come play football. Give that to somebody else you have a better chance of beating all the time.
Well, yeah. And
Look at that targeting call on NEU Wazirik.
Oh, what, God, what man. Seeing it closer here now, he just ends up falling on the guy. His helmet touches him because he falls on him.
What an absolute abomination.
Wow.
But Minshew doesn't even get up and say anything.
No.
Because Minshew just knows, oh, my helmet fell.
He didn't get his bell rung. Yeah. He didn't get his bell rung. And they had it right at first. His helmet came off. He has to come off for a play. And then it's like, wait a minute. Booth says, helmet came off. Something terrible must have happened. Dear Lord, their helmet's touched. Oh, my God, that's targeting. I mean, that's
an abomination.
It's atrocious.
The whole thing's a GD abomination.
All right. What are our other offseason storylines?
You're better on. Okay. So I'll toss it to you.
Should
now.
We talk about Butler and Montgomery, or is that even a storyline?
Your O line point is, I think, the biggest one because that's the missing step along with the detail, and that's program wide. And it's
Brian
never going to be perfect.
Replacing him is a bigger storyline than anybody will talk about.
But is it?
Yeah.
Datrone Young comes back next year.
No, I think you've got him and
Anthony Johnson.
But PV's like top five in the country.
Yes, and they need to be the level of leader that Brian PV became. What a dude. You know, shout out to him too for what he did at Iowa State. He touched on it tonight and during the 2-win, 3-win seasons and helping to build a culture. And the piece I did on him late in
What's
the season.
What's the problem with Bud Light?
So I just had
our good friend Mitch sent those up to us.
Thanks to Mitch. Love Mitch from EV Sports.
He gave me some Dewars.
I got Maker's Mark.
It's gone.
Of course it is.
The Dewars was pretty good. It was 12-year-old blended. It was good.
The Dewars it is amazing how terrible Bud Light is compared to Busch Light.
Oh, yeah. And it's because of like one ingredient.
It's corn, or it's
rice. Rice instead of corn. That's why we love Busch Light.
Is this an actual debate about this?
You can say whatever you want. Yeah.
Say whatever you want, man.
I mean,
no F-bombs.
Picking apart like the way some people talk about detecting certain fragrance notes out of a fine bourbon or this and that, a hint of vanilla.
There's some floral.
A hint of vanilla, floral. You guys are talking about rice and corn and Busch Light and Bud Light. And I think it's perfectly suitable for After Dark. I just like saying that. Okay, I loved hearing Ed say it.
Back to the cornerback thing. Okay.
Yeah.
There's also some guys in the program that I think are pretty good. Younger guys.
I agree. Don't fall into the trap, though, where we undervalue.
No. I'm not trying to undervalue him.
Yeah.
What about
Willie Harvey's huge, too. But, I mean, they've really got that linebacker group going,
right,
I think.
All right. So we're going to assume that David's gone, which I think is a fair assumption.
I'm going to assume that both of those guys are gone. Yeah.
Who's the starting running back when they play Northern Iowa next year?
It'll be, because I know how Campbell rolls.
They'll do a Kane, Crony, Lang, or.
Yeah.
Lang,
I forgot
tonight.
Sheldon's got another.
I think Breece Hall.
Man, Sheldon, you need to write a feature about Sheldon sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that his name, Breece Hall?
Breece Hall is going to be an All-American at Iowa State.
I think Breece Hall is the best running back in the room next year.
He will be an All-American at Iowa State.
And I think
about how good Brock's going to be. I mean,
Brock, the only thing that concerns me about him, it's not a long-term deal. It's just the system he's coming from. I think it may take him.
You've been talking to Jay Jordan, haven't you?
Actually, I haven't.
Oh, yeah, that's a big Jay Jordan thing.
Really? No, I've not talked to him about it. That's all good. That makes me feel good.
Jay's full eggplant emoji over Breece Hall, though.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
It's hard not to be over that young man.
Yeah. But yeah. Good guys coming back.
This got way weirder.
I mean, Kane is such a good kick returner. You want to make sure he's available in that capacity all the time.
They need to figure out a way to get that guy more involved.
He does need more carries, though. Yeah.
I don't know what it will take.
I think he catches the ball pretty well, too. He hasn't been shown it, really, because he hasn't been in a position to.
Well, the fact that he is more of a straightforward runner make them be less stubborn with their offensive play calling.
No,
because
they've had him all year anyway.
Now, think of the Oklahoma State game, though.
Fair.
When David didn't play. I mean, that play
they ran with him tonight was nice.
Yeah. I almost liked the way that Campbell or whoever the hell is calling plays. I still don't even know. I really don't even know.
I really think it is a committee to some degree.
I don't think Matt's calling plays.
Yeah.
I think Matt is telling people that, so he takes the heat. Yeah. I think Joel Gordon's been the play caller all year.
I think you're probably right, but I wouldn't be surprised based on what they've said. Guys introducing plays here and
Golish
there and deciding whether it's going to...
Golish is heavily involved. Gasser's heavily involved.
Myers.
Yeah. Regardless. Yeah. Hear me out here with my Nwangu theory. Mm-hmm. He's a different back than David.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And...
That run that David got caught at the three, Kane's in the end zone. No one's 5 yards from him.
Yeah, I agree. My point is, I think that they have to call it differently, a more straightforward deal. And I think that helps this offensive line in a weird way.
Okay.
I don't think it's better. I mean,
It didn't work with Mike Warren. But that was also 2 years ago.
Remember that year when he had that year was the weirdest year because he had a great rushing numbers. And quarterback's getting sacked 3-4 times a game.
Shout out to
and usually it's
Wendell
the other way around.
Wendell Tyese, shout out to him.
Usually,
I wonder what Wendell's up to
guys
nowadays.
Can pass block, but they can't run block.
There's two guys I've been just obsessed with like during the recruitments, and I really enjoyed them, and they were total flops. KJ Bluford,
the sharp shooting guard.
That's the guy that would come in for 3 minutes in a game and get 8 shots up.
He's the guy Hoiberg's quote was the best when he signed. And as Fred used to do a deal with me where he'd give me 5 minutes and we'd talk about each guy or whatever. And Fred's deal was, I was watching I went to scout him and, you know,
he's a Kansas Community College guy.
He chucked up, 30 shots in 20 minutes.
And he probably had 18 points.
Fred goes, he only made 5 of them, but the fact that he'd get that many shots off, that was all I needed to see. That was like when he signed, that was before he was even a flop, which is great. I loved it because it's such a Hoiberg deal.
He was a junior college guy, though, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he from like one in Kansas? I seem to remember.
Or Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
Did he go to did he go to Nebraska Western?
I think it was somewhere in Nebraska.
They've got a really good team.
And then Wendell Tyese. Somebody.
What about JP Filbert?
Jeez. Someday,
after dark.
Someday that story is going to have to come to fruition.
I'm pretty sure it's already come to fruition, hasn't it?
I've never told it because I don't ever want to throw the young man under the bus.
When JP broke a chair in my apartment when I was at Iowa State.
I had a former player. I'm not going to say his name because he was a troubled athlete. But I lived with a couple of football players in college. And this guy got into some trouble, and I don't even know what he's doing now. But he stole our silverware.
I've heard this story before.
It was like a small get together, and he got really, really drunk. And he was doing God knows what before he got there.
Did he wrap it up in a tablecloth and sling it over his shoulder and walk out to the pawn shop?
I don't remember how it ended, but I remember
he took the candles and swept them aside.
I remember him stealing my silverware, and I was like, yo, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm taking your silverware. What are you going to do about it? And I was like, that's a valid point.
It's not even silver, right? It was probably some
garbage, like... You know,
I don't know,
like
Walmart
when you go to the restaurant
something.
And you try and cut something. And
it would bend.
It's already bent because everybody else is trying to do the same damn thing. Yeah. Anyways.
I got 350.
You mentioned Wendell Tyese. He was another guy who I was super.
Wendell actually had a very, had a, I mean, he, that year he was a big piece of why their offensive line wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
Was Tyusay Campbell year one?
No. That was Rhodes. Rhodes' last year with Mike Warren. Tyusay, here. Okay, I'm gonna name them off for you. Here's the crew. Campos at left tackle.
Huh?
It was Campbell at right, or Campos at right tackle.
Good player.
Tyusay at right guard.
Big Wendell.
Scoggins at center.
Scoggins wasn't bad. He wasn't a bad player.
Yeah, he was okay. I loved his energy. Yeah. I mean, that guy could move.
Yeah. He's like J.D. Wagner on the offense.
That's right.
By the end of the year, it was Fett at left guard.
Fett was fantastic.
And at left tackle, it was J.P. Filbert because he could only play left tackle. And he said he was going to be the best left tackle in the Big 12. Pretty sure that that's correct.
That's a good pull by you, man. Okay, offensive line. Jared, what signing, though? Like, how many more scholarships do they have? Where can they add?
I know that they want to get another receiver, specifically at the position that Hakeem Butler plays.
Grad transfer?
I think that will be in play. It'll be interesting to see. The junior college ranks didn't produce much for the receiver position this year. So, yeah, I think grad transfer will be in play.
What are we looking at receiver, like those kids sitting out? So, Johnson will play some.
Josh Johnson? Yeah, Josh Johnson will play. He's at that same position. Who?
Man.
Martin.
Oh, yeah. Jalen. Man, my only problem with Jalen Martin, we've been hearing this dude's name for how long?
Yeah, he's behind some dudes.
And we ain't ever seen him.
Yeah.
I know, but even Josh Johnson passed him.
Yeah, I don't know. The Shaw kid is 6'6".
Yeah, Sean Shaw.
I
wouldn't be surprised at all if we see Darian Porter a little bit next year.
I don't think there's any
way. That dude's got big-time speed.
I don't think there's any way around it if Butler leaves, which I anticipate he will. I mean, that's a huge blow. That's a bigger blow than Montgomery, in my opinion.
I think so.
I mean, I said to you earlier, I don't even remember, were we at the game or were we just sitting here? I don't remember. But that guy, what that guy does, man, like he's unreal, dude. That catch that he had was one of the greatest catches I've ever seen live in my life.
And he's had two or three of those this season.
Yeah.
If he gets the feedback to go, he needs to go.
Yeah.
Make his money. And I'll never fault him.
He will always be a great Cyclone.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Look at this. Let's watch the beauty of this great kick by Connor Saul.
I truly think that he would benefit from
right
coming
down the ass alley.
I really think he'd benefit from coming back.
The fart pipe.
Yeah, right down the fart
guys,
pipe.
Trying to have a serious football conversation. Oh, sorry.
No, he would. Yes, he would. He Grow would benefit up. From coming back.
Hey, this is supposed to be after dark.
No, yes, he would. I agree. He'd benefit from coming back.
I think that if he's going to be, first of all, I don't think he'll be a first round pick. Y'all can say that all you want.
Well, yeah, and those are a couple of people, but these are
the mock draft
reputable people that have been.
I think he's more like a third or fourth round.
That's
pick.
What I think too.
And I think if he comes back, he's a first-round pick.
Yeah, but I mean, you could say that about almost any player.
Yeah,
like if David comes back, he might be able to ascend a little bit more.
But he's a running back.
And he's also, as a running back, that wear-and-tear position.
The way he runs.
And the way he's had to break tackles constantly.
He needs to go make
his money. Yes, he needs to do it now.
I think that with a receiver, I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to get dinged by an NFL team for being a year older as a receiver.
Yeah, or for having this many more catches versus carries,
but
which is part of that cumulative load.
Hakeem has his degree.
Yep.
You know, there's that aspect to it. Hakeem has had a really tough life.
Yep.
The death of his mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I want him to do what's best for him. And I think it's difficult for fans sometimes because fans love Iowa State, not necessarily these guys.
Yeah.
Now I think some fans can separate the two and know that they have other lives and some cannot. I saw a couple people tweeting, well, this is going to leave a sour taste in their mouth and Montgomery and Butler are going to come back. No, that's ridiculous. This
not going to happen.
No.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't.
No.
They need to do just like you, anybody listening. You do what's best for you and your family every day.
Let's put it this way. If you're an engineer, computer engineer, and after your junior year of college, you go and get an internship with Microsoft. And when that internship ends, they offer you a job where you're going to make $115,000 a year. How many 23-year-olds are going to say, No, I'm going to go back to Iowa State for my senior year.
Yeah.
I got to get that degree. And they're like, no, you don't got to get the degree. Like, you're good.
You
like,
can just work at it on the side, too, if
right,
you want to.
Right, we'll pay for that last year, even, you know?
Part of our continuing education. You
exactly.
Know,
that, yeah. How many people are going to do that?
Nobody.
Probably none.
Nobody.
Probably none. Exactly. Chris, you look like you're ready to be done.
Whatever.
I know that realistically, none of us are going to go to bed anytime soon.
I have
soon.
Some editing to do, and I'm going to schedule all of our social media for tomorrow.
Like I said, I know realistically none of us are going to bed. So
I still have to pack.
I mean, look at my stuff. You can see my stuff right here.
Yeah, we got a lot. Oh, Jesus.
Better than it was, Jared.
You are an absolute disaster. Oh, look at you got Cheetos.
I'm pissed I didn't put that cheese in the I guess it wouldn't have mattered anyways.
Quote unquote cheese.
Since our fridge fridge got unplugged today.
I mean, it's an absolute disaster.
I don't have to clean this place up.
This is true. Are you guys going to keep potting? Because I'm probably going to go work.
No, I mean, I'm good. If we're done, I'll probably just keep drinking beer and watching the rest of this game. We're at 53 minutes.
Oh, okay. That's a good size pod.
Yeah.
So the Cyclone Fanatic schedule, let's look forward just so people know. And we haven't really talked about this either.
Content meeting real quick.
Yeah, well, because Big 12 games start.
Yeah, Tuesday.
For the men and the women.
Wait, what day is it again?
Dude, it's so confusing.
Okay, so it's Wednesday, actually.
Yeah,
Iowa State
Wednesday. So, yeah, that's coming. Man, it sucks that football's over.
It really does.
I know, dude.
I really enjoy
it was a heck of a ride.
This team and this whole deal.
We saw Willie Harvey on the sidewalk tonight, and I was like, man, I want to stop and talk to Willie.
Campbell's such a pleasure to cover his program. Mm-hmm. The guys are great.
No offense, Coach Prom.
No, I love Prom too, but like it's different. Like, I don't know. Like, there's this different. You know why though? And it's because I've been around Iowa State basketball a long time where they're good,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of expect it. There's this whole sense of like newness that's going on with the football deal, and it's intoxicating. Like when you're around the energy.
Yeah. It's eggplant emoji.
Well, like, you know like what I mean? take tonight. What a disappointing loss, right? The 7 false starts, a couple really damaging bad calls, but you know, the 2 intercepts, you're minus 2 in turnovers. You make all this massive amount of mistakes, and yet you're still right there against a team that went 11-2. And it's probably might end the season as a top 10 ranked team. You should have won.
Iowa State's
you moved up and down the field on them. Yeah, I think there's more talent.
I think if they played 10 times, Iowa State wins 7.
Yeah, I'd say 6-7. Yeah, I'd be in that mix. Now, Minshew's great. That O-line is great. Their defense is pretty stout. But to get 515 yards on them in just 26 points.
Iowa State did that without 2 of its best players.
Exactly.
And that's, again,
credit to Hate Doc and his staff.
If we were going to do a wins above replacement for Washington State, if they don't have Gardner Minshew,
7
wins.
Yeah, they're 7-5.
And I mean, I don't know.
Defense is better than people gave it.
I will say this though. Obviously, things are weird because of the young man killed himself, and like that. Yeah. That was really
Polinsky, sad.
Is a very sad story.
Very.
But I don't know that this team is as good, and I don't know what he was like as quarterback, but I don't know what this kid what it would have been like without that guy. And but Gardner Minshew, he changed the program. He changed Washington State football.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm gonna go to my Leach deal though. Like how many? Yeah.
You need to go to Leechaholics Anonymous.
So, but my point though,
we need to have an intervention. All right, this is how we're going to close the podcast. We got 4 minutes before it becomes an hour.
Listen,
Chris, we need to have a discussion.
Watch the Tech teams that we used to always say that too. Oh, Kingsbury's gone. Graham Harrell's gone. They always plug somebody else in his system. But I agree with you. Minshew's fantastic.
Here.
They're going to find somebody else and plug it in and have similar success.
Yeah. Shout out to my friend, my good friend, Ryan Grove. Shout out to Ryan Grove if you want to buy a house in the Ames area. Hunziker there in Ames, Ryan Grove. He'll buy or sell your he won't buy or sell. He'll help you buy or sell a house.
We get what you mean.
He texted me tonight. He said, so we're sitting next to some Texas Tech fans that are here supporting Washington State. They are Leach fans. We've been talking to them about it, and they're telling us that most Tech fans are big Washington State followers, and he knew of a few hundred people at least that made the trip here with Washington State gear just to support Leach. They all love him and hate the way the university screwed him, so they decided to just stick with him.
I get it. That's why I hate the Bulls now.
The cult of Leach.
I'm in. I'm in.
He is extremely
he's a leechist
man.
The thing that people
talk about, most interesting man in the world.
The thing that people don't understand, like with what we saw tonight, it was a quiet genius type of game that he called. The thing is, it's like it wasn't flashy.
Mm-hmm.
That team is trained so to take exactly what is there, and when it's not, don't screw it up. That's what the air raid is made for. Yeah. And it's
what Coach Campbell said, the detail.
Yeah.
They did it.
So it was a good, like, Iowa State's D was great. Like, mm-hmm. Nobody who watched that game.
Iowa State has a great D.
Darn right they do.
Can I say something real quick?
Why are you getting awfully squirrely over there?
What? I need to ask, are we going to keep going, or do I need to get up and get another beer?
No, you're fine. I want to end this.
I'll get one.
All right, but I was saying we're done.
But
are we done?
My point is that the way that thing is set up, they did what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
They weren't trying to have 700 yards on Iowa State tonight.
No. At the end of the day, we're all going to – this is where I'm going to –
And I disagree with you that Minshew changed the program, because Mike Leach changed the program.
Well, Mike Leach changed the program. Minshew took it to another level. They don't go 11-2 without him.
He's going to graduate, and they're going to be in the 9-3, 10-2 range next year.
Okay, that's fine.
And I don't even know who their quarterback will be, but they find.
But it's in the same
Leach is
sense.
Too good of a coach Campbell not to have good guys.
Coach Campbell changed Iowa State.
There's a reason
David Montgomery took Iowa State to another level.
There's a reason why none of the Leach quarterbacks ever make it in the NFL, because their system, they're just plug and play guys.
Do you guys remember Colt Brennan?
I do.
He didn't play for Mike Leach, but I don't know why I thought about that.
Where did he play?
Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Same type deal, though. Jones, it's very similar. Yep. June Jones is a disciple.
Where's June Jones at nowadays?
He's at SMU.
He's an NFL. I thought it was.
No, he got fired at SMU.
I thought it was an NFL assistant again. Okay. No, well, maybe a CFL, like a co-head coach. I've had CFL on the brain a lot recently.
I know you have. You keep bringing up. Every time you see a guy, you're like, man, that looks like a guy who's going to have a lot of success in the CFL. David Sills. That's who you're talking about. You're
not
like,
that he couldn't make it in the NFL.
You're like, if he doesn't make it in the NFL, he's going to lead the CFL in receiving for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, man, you like really know a lot about the CFL, apparently.
All right, we need to go.
It's Canada,
It's almost 3:30. My goal was to be in bed by 4:30. So, and then I have
3 hours of sleep for you.
6:30 is the alarm.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not waking up at 6:30.
I'm waking up. I'm almost packed up completely, rolling out of here within 5 minutes.
Okay. I know that I'm going to.
Miss the flight, fellas.
I'm going to wake up and it'll take me 10 minutes.
Don't miss the flight because we're not paying for you to get a commercial.
Steel Jans, once I've packed everything up, it'll be like I've never been here.
It'll take me 10 minutes to make it like I've never been here.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
The man Steel.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We love you guys. We hope you all travel safely back to Iowa. And hopefully you don't get too depressed.
You're fine.
By the snow. I was going to say, once you get back up to the snow, because I know it snowed tonight in central Iowa. Happy New Year. Probably won't talk to you until after that. Thanks for listening. Peace out.